Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-trapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin to see out of the disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Does anybody know what this
crypto thing is? Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, December the 10th. My name's Christy Matthews.
I'm Linda Kent.
And we've got our trusty producer, Tyler, in the booth.
How we doing, guys?
Doing great.
Good.
How are you doing?
Oh, man, a little tired, but I'm taking care of business.
We'll come over there and kick you in the butt.
Taking care of business.
Yeah,
we'll take care of business.
We'll see if that ends up coming into play at all.
Boy, he is with it. I'm telling you, wow.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Good to have you here, and thank you so
good
much.
Thank you for helping us.
This is the second time I've seen you today.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's radio, so nobody else has to.
That's true. You didn't have to agree with that. I mean, come on.
I know.
Hey,
thanks,
I was
Tyler.
Impressed last week.
Yeah.
Well,
about
thanks.
You knew who Woody and Arlo were. I'm just saying, I was impressed.
Mean, Bachman Turner Overdrive released this song in 1973, I do believe. You can't get me on any of this stuff.
Okay. I bet I can find a couple. Now I'm on a mission.
Next week, let's see if you can stump me.
Okay. Right. I'm on a mission.
Hey, thank you.
And so let's move along.
Well, we'll continue with the show. So if you'd like to chat with us on X or Telegram, you can find us at Tokens Radio Show. That's at Tokens Radio Show. And you can find a copy of today's show and our previous shows, news, and resources on our website at tokensradioshow.com. Or you could just simply come right here to kcnr1460.com, where you can find archives of all of the shows that play here at KCNR. And you can also find the live stream for our show right now, especially if you happen to lose your FM. Just come on over online. That's been coming in and out today.
Has it? Again?
Yeah. Well, we were listening to your show earlier today, and you were gone.
You came and back. She's gone.
So we're going to chat a little bit about some breaking news today, and we haven't done that in a while, so we're going to bring you up to date on some news stories that are of interest. And then we're going to deepen our conversation about Bitcoin and what happens when we're gone. And that's
when
a question.
When we're gone.
Yes, and that means like when we're dead gone. That's a question we hear quite a bit about, and so we're going to delve into that a little bit. So it makes sense to chat about Bitcoin being part of our estate planning, so we shall take that on today. So, but first, let's do a quick market update and get a word from our sponsor. So Bitcoin's currently sitting at 43,868. It's down a little bit over its highs of over 44. I think it got up to about 44, let's say 44.5.
That's still.
Right. Still wonderful.
Yeah, it's really wonderful for us Bitcoiners.
Ethereum's at 2361, also on the high end. XRP hitting highs as well at 66.5. Not all-time highs, but highs as of late. And XLM, same thing at 13 cents.
You know, speaking of Bitcoin prices, I think when I first started buying, averaging weekly buys, I think it was right around 13, 14, and I was thinking, man, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Kind of, in a way. And now we're looking at over 43,000.
Right. Yeah. But taking inflation into consideration, and these numbers are all relevant, really.
I know, but just, people go, well, the price. Yeah. Well, when we were buying in, it was 13, and now it's 43.
Right.
Guess what? That's a pretty good rate of return.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just saying.
You might say we've been smiling in the Matthews home, so there you go.
There you go. The Queen of Dragons sponsors today's show. This local establishment takes great pride in delivering top quality items at competitive prices. They ensure the safety and freshness of all of their offerings through rigorous testing. Listen, MJ has this to say. There are high CBD THC products I can obtain through the Queen of Dragons to make the life of this senior much more pleasant and pain-free. And DH says, their products are great for my pain. A little goes a long way. The Queen of Dragons has a diverse range of premium products, freshly packaged daily. They're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Stay updated on their deals by following at Queen Dragons on X or contact them at 530-276-9771.
Oh, yeah. They're great people, and they're very helpful. You know, if you're looking to make tinctures, edibles, that type of thing, they're very helpful in helping you find out what will work best.
That's good because, you know, I know that sometimes these, you know, places like that get a bad rap. But there is people out there, especially in the elderly community, or even people that have health concerns or health issues. Conventional medicine isn't always the way to go because a lot of times all they want to do is pump them full of a bunch of prescriptions that cause more problems.
You know, every time we've been in there, it seems as though there, a lot of the clientele are kind of look like us, about our age.
Us old people. Yeah. So anyway.
Good people. Yeah. So if you'd like to join in on our discussion today, give the station a call at 530-605-4567 or hit us up in the chat at kcnr1460.com. And you'll connect with Tyler, who will put you in the queue, and we'll get to you just as soon as we possibly can. Now, we've covered some deep subjects lately, such
as how
Bitcoin mining and innovators are helping the climate, the grid, and how local governments have turned Bitcoin, as a way to diversify their treasuries. Now, we believe this is something our elected leaders should embrace by forming a citizen-led commission to explore how it might enhance Shasta County's economic growth. I think that you were speaking to one of our candidates today about that very subject, right?
I was, and they were saying, you know, to mine Bitcoin is very expensive, and it's like, well, not so much. There's different ways to go about that, and we have a lot of resources here that we can tap into, and I did an example. I said, what about the dump, the methane gas?
Right, right.
Right there.
Well, yeah, and so that's precisely the reason why we ask that they form a commission so that some of these beliefs that they may have, which might be stalling them from moving forward in their evolution of learning more about this, just like we did.
Right. Right?
We had to go there, too. And so we understand it much more, and we'd love to explain it to you if you give us an opportunity. And there's a lot of fine people in this community who would love to join in on this, who are out there in the shadows. They're doing this on their own, and let's bring them out so that we as a community can talk about if we want this as an addition to a resource here in Shasta County, an additional economic resource.
Right. And, you know, talking to the individual and stuff, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, things can change, you know, after the general election and Trump's in there. You know what? We can't depend on that. I'm not saying it isn't going to happen. I'm just saying we have to take care of ourselves in our own backyard, and we have to start local. Again, the parallel economy, whether it's financial, you know.
Right. And I think with regard to Bitcoin, that statement right there, you know, kind of, bleeds of ignorance.
Right. So,
if that's how, what that person's thinking, I think it's some ignorance, and maybe they have some room, you know, to be open-minded and learn something else.
Right. So, again, we just like to teach, and
yes,
hopefully you start listening in or listen to past shows about it. And, again, it is something the commission could do, just like anything, pros and cons.
Right.
How many pros do we have? How many cons do we have? Let's get a graph going and start segueing into different things.
And let the people decide what is best for us moving forward.
Right. And like I told them, too, before we move on, I said, look at Alaska.
Right.
How what they did to the for the people up there as far as the pipeline and stuff, the people get a stipend back.
Right.
I said that can make a big difference because we were talking about homelessness this morning and about a new bill, 43 or something, where now the governor passes this law that says to take conservatorship over homeless people. And it's like, I don't like that because then the government can put you in institutions if they want and stuff. You know what I mean?
Might be forcing medical treatment.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And I have some issues with that as well.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move along.
Let's just start this whole thing off with a comment from our friend, Space Force Major Jason Lowry. You know, he's been very quiet.
He's been quiet.
Nonetheless, this is a good little segue to get
us going. Here we go.
And we're not getting
any. Centralize that control authority over that ledger. You make the people who solve the hash cost function the people who get to write the ledger. Physical power is fully inclusive. Everyone has access to watts. You have the wind, out of the water, out of natural gas, out of solar. So this power is available everywhere exogenously. The big one is it's unbounded. So let's say if someone starts gaining a lot of control authority over this ledger, well, because you're using power as the basis through which you achieve control authority over the ledger, that means there is no theoretically, just like there was no theoretical limit to the amount of kinetic power that people can use to defend their access to their property in the real world, there is no theoretical limit to how many watts honest people can summon to impose severe, physically prohibitive costs on anyone who tries to gain and exploit centralized control authority over the ledger.
Well, I think we should reserve this soundbite and maybe share it with the person.
Yeah, it just went right into that with everything as far as what we're trying to teach people and show them.
So why don't we segue into a few news stories and then we'll get into our main topic today.
All righty.
You want to take this one?
All right. Emergency support cliff looms, threatening banks and consumers. Bitcoin layer. A financial cliff looms in March of 2024 when emergency pandemic support programs are set to expire, putting further strain on U.S. consumers and poising insolvency risk for small banks. Personal debt burdens have spiked as pandemic access savings dwindle, with interest payments consuming the highest portion of incomes since the early 1990s. Meanwhile, small banks have leaned heavily on special Federal Reserve lending facilities opened during COVID-19 to bolster their cash buffers. Economists warn that the expiration of these Fed and fiscal stimulus programs could spark a wave of consumer loan defaults and small bank failures, potentially triggering a wider recession. No, say it's not true. However, central bank policymakers appear unwilling to allow substantial backsliding instead of debating making special bank lending permanent.
Right.
While preventing banking crisis, analysts caution this could introduce further distortions, making emergency lending a permanent fixture, eliminates crucial financial guardrails, said expert Brian Jones. Avoid recessions at all costs simply sows the seeds for a more violent downturn later. With little political appetite, Main Street citizens are left having to brace for the Fed's expanding influence over their lengthening boom-bust cycles.
Right. So what they're going to do is they're going to make this special lending division permanent so that they're going to avoid the real problem by having to tighten the belt and have some fiscal responsibility, fix some things.
They're just going to tighten our belt.
Well, they need to tighten the belt all the way around. So, unfortunately, these people have kicked the can down the road. It's affected all of us, but in order to get this fixed, it will never get fixed in our lifetime. It doesn't seem that way without right. going through some major hurt. So
right.
there you go.
Unfortunately.
Yep.
All right.
So meanwhile, Bitcoin futures open interest on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the CME, has approached $5.2 billion, coming close to its previous all-time high from October of 2021. Over the past month, CME's Bitcoin futures open interest has risen from 6.63 billion to 5.2 billion, coinciding with Bitcoin's 26% price increase to $43,651. And prior to the high in open interest, aligned with Bitcoin soaring from 45,000 to 66,000 between October 1, 2021. This renewed interest in Bitcoin comes as the market speculates on a potential SEC approval of Bitcoin spot ETFs, while others cite Bitcoin's correlation with macroeconomics and expected interest rate cuts. CME surpasses Binance to become the leader in Bitcoin futures open interest signals, growing institutional cryptocurrency interest. Although analysts caution that a sell the news event could follow any spot ETF approval. So expect the FUD, expect
yep.
the hype.
Yep, exactly. All right, then we have Debbie Downer, Jamie Dimon of CEO, J.P. Morgan, lays on the FUD again. Dimon has retaliated his opposition to cryptocurrency, stating he would close down the asset class if he were the U.S. government. Thank God. We got enough problems with the government.
Yes.
During a Senate hearing, Dimon claimed that the primary use of crypto is for criminal activities like drug trafficking and money laundering.
And his bank is not?
Yeah, I know. That's why they just got these big fines.
Oh,
the number's so big I can't even read it. Four banks, you know, got fined because of their lending practices
wow.
or lack
wow.
thereof or, you know. Their criminal activity, you
Nothing
know.
To see here.
All right. This prompted by Senator Elizabeth Warren asking why it's favored by terrorists, drug trafficking, rogue nations. Dimon highlighted the speed of the digital asset. This is not the first time the J.P. Morgan chief has criticized Bitcoin and crypto. Earlier this year, he called Bitcoin a hyped-up fraud. Despite his negative stance on decentralized cryptocurrency, Dimon has acknowledged potential blockchain tech applications. J.P. Morgan recently partnered with Apollo Global and Avalanche on an asset management proof of concept. Crypto advocates push back against the notion digital assets are mainly used for illegal purposes, emphasizing the transparency of Bitcoin's public ledger. Of course, anybody that has anything to do with Bitcoin is got to be some kind of criminal, or drug traffickers or whatever.
Well, let's put it this way. You can look at the Bitcoin public ledger at any time you want, at any time of the day, even on a holiday if you want. But I don't know if you can. In fact, I don't know if anybody's ever been able to go to the Fed and say, can you open your books and let me take a look at them? I don't even think Congress gets to do that.
I think they've kind of been asked, but it's not that they
so
did
they
it or they didn't allow
this.
It.
I mean, so, okay. So when these guys are afraid they're of something that can affect their cronyism, if you will, they're going to disparage it. They're going to, you know, talk against it,
right.
litigate against it if they can, and then they'll eventually join it. Which is where
yeah,
we're at.
Yeah, that's exactly where
yeah.
we're at.
Okay.
That's the point.
Yes, that's the point.
Ding, ding, ding.
So on the regulatory front, a U.S. House committee unanimously passed a pro-blockchain bill that could increase adoption if it's signed into law. The Deploying American Blockchains Act tasks the Commerce Secretary with promoting blockchain deployment. It introduces best practices and policies for public and private sector usage. The bill would create a blockchain deployment program to support adopting the technology as well as the advisory bodies with industry experts. It aims to improve coordination among interested federal agencies and research current blockchain use and readiness. Another impact bill is in the Financial Innovation and Technology for the 21st Century Act, which would establish a process for labeling cryptocurrencies as securities or commodities. The Blockchain Act must still pass the Senate and get final congressional approval before taking effect.
Very interesting.
Yes, indeed.
It is. Then a warning shot to the SEC. BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, addressed the possibility of Bitcoin being classified as a security in its latest amended application for spot Bitcoin exchange traded fund, ETF, filed with the SEC Monday. BlackRock warned that any enforcement action asserting Bitcoin is a security would likely have an immediate adverse impact to Bitcoin trading value in ETF shares. Imagine that. The filing cites that SEC's lawsuit against Ripple executives over XRP sales, which precedented XRP's market cap falling from over $1 billion to less than
$100 billion.
Correct me. Thank you. $100 billion to less to $10 billion.
Yeah.
Okay. Commercially legitimate. Jeez, now you got me going.
The litigator.
Yeah. Joe Carl Sayre.
Not close enough.
Commented that the SEC seems to want this warning language included through prior versions of BlackRock's filing. Lacked it. Former SEC official John Stark remains skeptical the SEC will approve a Bitcoin spot ETF, questioning whether SEC Chair Gensler would want his legacy to include enabling what he sees as an obvious threat to investors.
So you know what this sounds like to me? Okay, we just talked about, you know, the disparaging and all of that until they accept it, right?
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
So BlackRock's all in on this. Remember they put out some information. So
yeah.
You should have about 60% of your portfolio in Bitcoin. So they've adopted it. They're on board and they're going, SEC, do not get in the way.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have, you know, an interagency problem here with each other, even though BlackRock is not part of any of our government, but they somewhat are.
Well, yeah. They are.
Yeah. There you go.
Again, follow the money.
Yeah. So, financial payment processor Block, co-founded by Jack Dorsey, has unveiled its self-custody Bitcoin wallet called BitKey. Available as a mobile app or hardware storage in over 95 countries. This sounds really interesting. The wallet features a 2-of-3 multi-signature setup with a mobile key, a hardware key, and a server key.
Wow.
It incorporates secure hardware and recovery tools for loss prevention. Transactions require a fingerprint and phone authentication. Coinbase and Cash App are initial global partners, and Block says BitKey's three keys secure Bitcoin through a 2-of-3 multi-signature framework, needing any two keys to move Bitcoin or enable security actions like recovery. In the third quarter of 2023, Block saw $5.62 billion in revenue driven by Cash App and Square alone. It also logged a $44 million Bitcoin investment profit and a $45 million in Bitcoin transaction revenue. It's up 22%. So that's a big deal.
Yes,
it is. Multi-signature security of your Bitcoin is the best way to go, in my opinion. So there you go.
Yeah, but what a good thing.
You think we should segue into a break?
I think we're
What do you think, Tyler? Are we good?
I think we can do that.
All right.
Well, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will continue a conversation, hopefully, with what happens when I'm gone. You're listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. See you in a few.
Just Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Good day. And welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host here with the latest local updates. First up, a substitute teacher at Anderson Middle School is in custody after allegedly exposing himself to students, according to the Anderson Police Department. On Tuesday, the vice principal was alerted by two students that they could see the substitute's, quote, bare buttocks as his pants were partially down. The vice principal went to the classroom and found 32-year-old Stephen Canciani with his pants and underwear around his mid-thighs. She escorted him off campus and called the police. Officers issued a warrant for Canciani's arrest on charges of indecent exposure and annoying/molesting a child after speaking to the students. Canciani peacefully surrendered Tuesday evening and was booked into jail. Police suspect he may have substituted at other Shasta County schools and are asking anyone with related information to contact them. Next up, on December 7, 2023, a ceremony was held in Redding, California to commemorate the 82nd anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Organized by Mike Woodrum, whose father Hank was present at Pearl Harbor in 1941, the event honored the survivors and victims of the infamous attack. Speakers included World War II descendants who recounted stories told by their grandparents about their experiences that, quote, day of infamy. The ceremony involved a moment of silence, emotional speeches, a wreath laying accompanied by bugler playing taps, and the laying of flowers at a memorial, all with the goal of ensuring newer generations learn about and remember those affected by the events of Pearl Harbor, as the number of living survivors continues to dwindle. Overall, through commemorative events like this, the community aims to keep memories alive of those who served and sacrificed. In our last brief, Shasta County is confronting obstacles for those with only 31% of its high school students completing prerequisites for California's public universities. Rural Shasta County confronts economic and cultural obstacles on the path to college, including local political resistance grounded in fears that higher education will undermine traditional values. The county has a 14% poverty rate and lower median income compared to the state. Local political divides include distrust of public education influencing families' values. Some see college as promoting liberal, quote, anti-American views. Officials now aim to honor all choices for careers, including trades, along with 2- and 4-year degrees. They are expanding career technical education to adapt training to critical thinking and problem-solving needed in today's jobs. A collaborative called Reach Higher Shasta now links schools with workforce needs in healthcare and education. It provides information to students and parents about options beyond their immediate circles. The goal is to improve public health and quality of life through education tied to local careers. And finally, the Town Hall Brief congratulates Janice Powell on becoming the mayor of the city of Shasta Lake to Tanessa Audette on becoming the mayor of Redding. We wish you much success in 2024. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief this week. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
And we're back. Promise. Before we went to break, we were doing the news headlines, and now I think we'll, how about shifting gears and talk about what to do when you're gone with your Bitcoin.
Well, yeah, when we're gone, like, you're like, gone.
like gone, you know.
Yeah, you cannot manage the custody of your Bitcoin. It's got to go somewhere else, right?
Right. And this is something we've talked about quite a bit. And some of our people that talk to us and stuff, they've asked us this question. You know, it's a very good question because of the way things are changing in everyday life with taxes and everything else. Exactly what happens to your Bitcoin? And what vehicle do you use so that when you do go on, when you pass on, that your family members or whoever knows what to do or how to do it or where to go or what?
Well, it's part of a good estate plan. And this, when we got into this space, incorporating your cryptocurrencies into your estate plan was a little murky.
Yeah, well, it's still not quite as bad.
I spoke with estate planning attorneys, and they're going, well, you know, you need to set up an LLC and have your cryptos held in there. And you have your LLC become a beneficiary of your trust.
Right, I get that, yeah.
Well, but the thing is you don't really have to do that because from that point ago, from several years ago, to this point now, things have evolved, and just like anything else that has to do with taxes or anything government-related, government moves slow. The system of justice, if you want to call it that, moves slow before it catches up to innovation. Innovation's always outrunning regulation, right?
Yeah.
So this is where we are today, and so there are ways to do this, and you don't have to rely on, a covert way, if you will. You want to have everything above board so that you can effectively transfer your cryptocurrency and not be put into have your heirs be put into a situation where they have to sell it, realize a major gain, pay some taxes on it, and then if they want to buy it back.
Well, not only that, you need it in a vehicle so that they know. I mean,
right. You have to have the right vehicle. You sure do.
Because you stop and think about some of the people that we talk with and deal with are our age or older. And sometimes other family members don't even know what they're doing or what they have done in the crypto world. So, you know, if they don't have a vehicle or know how to handle it or where to put it or how to put it, it could just go away. It could just go to space, basically, it could be lost.
Yeah,
you have to wonder, nobody would know any different.
You'd have to wonder about Satoshi. You know, he had several. I mean, like worth billions of dollars worth of crypto of Bitcoin, and that wallet has been inactive for a number of years. So, did he just simply walk away? Did he pass away? I mean, what we don't know.
Right.
But in essence, that Bitcoin's been mined. It's sitting there. It is not doing anything. It's just sitting on the ledger, and it may be forever lost, and nobody gets the benefit out of that. So, it's kind of interesting.
And as we get older, we kind of worry about these things, and it gets a little scary because you're not sure. Like you say, when we started this, it was so murky, the waters about how it would be handled.
Right.
It's like, you know, I don't mind working all my life and everything, but if I'm leaving something, I want my family members or my heirs to benefit from that.
Well,
not the government.
We all know that it's a commodity. It is considered a digital asset, and you have protections under the IRS code. And, we're at a point now where, statistically speaking, About a quarter of the adults in America own some, at least some Bitcoin. So let's say if you were able to acquire it at, let's say, just maybe the recent lows of a year ago at 19,000, and you're right at 44, that's a nice little chunk right there.
Yes, it is.
That's assuming if you have one Bitcoin. But what if you have more? You might have less. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be, you know, you have doubled your value.
Well, yeah, if it goes up 243% or whatever, 500%.
Now, what rate of tax is paid when you settle an estate? Isn't it like 40% or something like that?
It's close to that most of the time,
so
yeah.
So if you made like $20,000 on a whole Bitcoin, you're going to lose practically half of it just to the United States federal government. We haven't even talked about the state of California yet.
Right, and again, I just had a thought bubble. If you don't have a vehicle, you know what's going to happen to it. It will go to probate.
Yes.
Just like any other thing.
Yes.
It will go to probate.
Well, and that leads to another thing is that, and this is just good estate planning, period. Let's put Bitcoin aside. If you don't have an estate plan, I'm sorry. What is happening is that you will probably end up in probate. Now, there are people that have estates that fall below a threshold.
Correct.
To where you just simply file some simple paperwork with the probate court, and you're effectively in and out of probate. But that is not the case for most people. So if you haven't done any estate planning and don't have at least a will, I mean, you'll still end up in probate. But if you have a trust instrument, that will keep you out of probate and offer you some protections.
Exactly.
And that's just in general. So if you have a house, you have, you know, money in the bank, you have gold, silver, whatever the case is, all of that is up for grabs if you end up having to go to probate. All of that must be settled by an intermediary, if you will, called the judge. Who's going to, you know, call balls and strikes in the courtroom. And you don't want to do that. You should have, okay, maybe you do want to do that. But in my view, I would want to have that plan and make sure that what is left to our surviving family, those that are going to be here after I'm gone, my husband's gone, that they know exactly what it is that they're getting into. Because either way, whether there's a trust or not, we're setting them up for a lot of work.
Right. I was going to say, I don't want to put the burden on them any more than what they already are going to have because we're gone.
Hey,
that just isn't right, you know?
You know, I can kind of equate maybe going through probate almost like going through a contentious divorce in some cases. It can take some time to get through probate. And it's very expensive. So why not do some estate planning? It's not very expensive. It is an investment in the future, but it's also one of the most tremendous gifts that you can give to those who will survive you. And it allows them to have a roadmap.
Yes.
So I just think it's, you know, having said that, you know, that, you need to do that.
Yeah,
and let's talk about it. You
still have to have good crypto hygiene, as
of
we
course.
Put it, with the private keys and the public keys and all of that. I mean, I was having a conversation with somebody, and it's like, no, if somebody steals your Bitcoin, most likely you don't have good hygiene because they have to have those phrases. But you want to be able to put that, like you say, a roadmap for your children or whoever is going to be looking at this. Because just because we understand how these keys work and stuff, somebody that has no knowledge is going to look at it and go, what the hell?
Well, and this is where a good an estate planning attorney or, you know, a fiduciary where you can employ them and they're insured and bonded and so forth to where they can be hired to assist the survivors so that they can access the crypto and know what to do with it. So that's one way of doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we move on in the chat room, good point, Mother Goose. Blockchain can be used for good or evil, just like anything.
Right.
That's a good, and probate is a nightmare. You are correct, Mother Goose. It most certainly can be. And That's what we're all about, the education and showing people it doesn't have to be a nightmare for the people that survive us.
Right.
And set them up for their life.
Yep. So basically there's about four ways to leave Bitcoin to your heirs. If you do some searching on this, you're going to find quite a bit out there that says there's just three ways, but we found a fourth way, and we'll share that at the end of this.
All right. Do we want to go through the four? Yes. Or go do the three and then
Let's start with number one.
All right. Name beneficiaries with your cryptocurrency exchange. This passes assets directly, avoiding probate court. But few exchanges support this, and you lose control assets transfer immediately at death based on market value.
So they're sold, right?
Right.
Okay.
Which isn't the best. It's not the worst, but it's not the best.
Right.
Okay.
Secondly, set up a trust. A trust lets a third party, like a trustee, manage and distribute the assets. Trust avoids probate. You don't go to probate at all. You don't have to file anything with the court. You can provide detailed instructions on distributing assets to heirs over time. You can set conditions that heirs must meet first. I mean, basically, you set out the rules within the trust. It's a roadmap on gaining those assets for the survivors. And you can appoint an advisor to help heirs manage their inheritance. And this option gives the, I'm going to say, almost the most control.
Right.
Of the fourth one.
Right, exactly.
Do you mind if I want to add something to this.
Sure.
You know, my folks had passed away over the last couple of years, and they died pretty close within months of each other. And the greatest gift that they gave us was having their trust instruments in place. They set up a roadmap. They even went to the extreme of setting up, you know, an afterlife party, you know, a celebration.
Oh, wow.
And all of those things. But, you know, I just had to open up the book, and all we had to do was follow a roadmap. And it wasn't easy. I mean, it was still hard to do, but we didn't have to figure anything out because they laid out what their wishes were. And to me, that was one of the greatest gifts I ever received.
Oh, I bet.
And it didn't take much more than having the attorney sit down and generate all the paper. They just added a few things to the trust, and it's like, hey, you know, Chris and Jim, this is what you need to do. And we did it.
Right. Yeah, because during that time, yeah, you had the roadmap. You didn't really have to think about it.
Right.
And during those times, we all know sometimes our thought process is not good.
No.
It's
hard
slack.
To make decisions.
It is.
But when they're already made, you just go ahead. Cool. I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. All right. So number three is create a will. This enters probate court after death. The court validates your will, values assets, pays debts, fees, and distributes remaining per your instructions or state law if your will is incomplete. So remember that, too. I would assume it's like that in all states. I don't know. But we do know in California that it will go to the state, and then the state decides.
Right.
Which is never in best interest of anybody but the state.
Right. And that's generally, if you go to most trust providers, and even look this up online yourself, you're going to see that they're going to say there are three main ways to legally leave your Bitcoin to heirs. But researching some of this, there is a fourth, and it's called a transfer at death agreement. And that's pretty cool. And maybe we'll spend a little time with this one.
Yeah, I think we should, because that could be very important depending on what you want to do or the value of your assets.
Well, yeah,
could play a big part.
It allows a transfer on death. It's called a TOD agreement, and it's a special arrangement that allows cryptocurrency holdings like Bitcoin to be transferred to a named beneficiary upon the account owner's death without having to go through probate. Wow. And so here's a few things that you need to know about TOD agreements for Bitcoin estates. And the first one is, they allow for a seamless and usually quick transfer of cryptocurrency to beneficiaries without the costs and delays of probate as Bitcoin is digital, and it can change hands instantly with the
So it can
process.
Just be transferred over
That's
to
right.
whoever.
Right.
I kind of like that. They supersede typical wills and trusts when it comes to cryptocurrency assets. The coins go directly to the named beneficiary and bypass the state.
That's incredible.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They help maintain privacy because the contents and transfers occur outside of the public probate process, and it's beneficial for valuable crypto holdings.
You know, I just had what you call a thought bubble about
right,
this.
Yeah.
Two, in doing something like this, I know personally how it excuse me, can be with siblings.
Right.
This way, there's no way siblings know what the other sibling got unless you run your mouth.
Right. Because you've set it up with the, you set up a beneficiary, you know, disbursement towards
right.
a time of death.
So, and it, yeah, and it doesn't say when you're doing Bitcoin necessarily
right.
how much you have. It
right.
has an address.
Right.
And keys.
Right.
But it doesn't say Chris got, you know, one Bitcoin.
Right.
And Suzanne over there, I didn't like her so much, so I gave her half a one.
She's got two Satoshis.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So this could stop a lot of headache and problem
right.
that way as well.
Yes. So, and let's say if there is a reading of the will, let's say you have a trust and there's a reading of the will, right?
Right.
So even then it can just be said, you know, there's a transfer at death agreement and you'll be notified with your disbursement.
Right.
It'd be as simple as that. So, these TOD agreements, they require a proactive setup on crypto exchange accounts, wallet providers, and so forth. So the account owners need to take action well ahead of time to enable a TOD on their Bitcoin assets. So don't sit back if this is on your mind and you have, if your heirs will have some financial hit coming their way by receiving your assets, give them the gift of getting it done now.
Right. Beneficiaries need to be able to access crypto accounts, so account credentials and keys need to be stored and shared in advance as part of a comprehensive crypto estate planning.
Yeah.
And in the chat room, yes, it's got a quote in there. We thought we had time.
Right.
How many times
yeah.
have we heard that?
It's a common thing. Nobody wants to face their demise. I know when my folks sat down and did theirs, I mean, it was kind of, you know, a somber moment. It took several hours to sit with my folks and go through their wishes.
Right.
It was probably a 5-hour conversation we had with them, and there was a lot of times where even my dad got a bit tearful. And my dad, if you knew my dad, he didn't cry for anything, right?
Okay.
A tough guy, right?
Yeah.
And this just kind of brought him over to the point, like, I've never really had to think about things this way.
Well, that's it.
Right.
None of us really want to think about it. I mean,
right.
like you say, sit down and put pen to paper
right.
on something like this.
Yeah.
But it's something that everybody goes through, has to deal with. It's a fact of life. And the more clear it can be for people, the better off.
Well, I'll tell you, he planned a hell of a party.
Did he?
Yes.
Dang.
He did.
That's a good thing. But then yeah. you knew exactly what to do. You didn't have to second guess it.
Right.
You didn't have to go, you know, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. I can't think. Because we know. I know somebody right now that's going through that. I just can't deal with it.
Right.
I can't answer that question. I can't handle that.
Yeah. It is hard.
It can most certainly
and that might
be
where you might need a trusted individual to, you know, bring you to the trough and get you there.
Right.
So because it's like taking one step forward. It's like anything else. Just take that first step forward. And once you start getting going on it, it will get done.
Yeah. And we all know it's going to happen.
Right.
We just don't know what the
that
timing
is. That
is
an assurance.
That
yes.
is definitely, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
So, transfer of death agreements, they provide better control, privacy, and efficiency compared to traditional estate planning. When inheriting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, As Bitcoin rises in value and popularity, properly handling it as part of one's estate is absolutely crucial.
Mm-hmm.
The TOD setup is an important tool for any Bitcoin estate. And, you know, there's a few places, we're looking at some time here, that you might want to look at to get more information, because not everybody, like we said, doing our research, is up to speed on this. So first,
it's just starting to come
really. There are more and more services coming out that is specializing this. So, of course, you have to handle the logistics and all of that, but a good estate plan will put all of that in place. First of all, first and foremost, go and inquire with an estate planning professional with expertise in cryptocurrency. Go fully armed with the information we're sharing today and question them and see if they're going to be the right person for you.
Interview them.
Yes.
Just like you would for anything else.
Right.
You can do that with planning, estate planning. It doesn't mean that you have to give them access to all your assets or what, but they'll give you a good outline of what
right.
to do. And sometimes it's a good fit with people, and sometimes you know how that is. You walk into some place and it's just automatic. You're like, no, this is not going to work.
Here's what the interesting thing. I was calling around to some estate attorneys and just asking some of these questions, and right off the get-go, there were a couple that I spoke with that just flat out gave information that I know would create a tax situation for the survivors.
Right.
And that's not what you want. And these are estate planning professionals.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anything. There are ones that you want.
Do your own research.
Yeah.
We've always said do your own research.
Yep, exactly.
Then, of course, one of our favorite companies is what?
Swan.
Yeah, Swan Bitcoin. Now, I'm not sure if they have a full inheritance program, but we're going to investigate that a little bit more because they are into retirement and so forth. And it would seem reasonable that they would have, this component built in, but I haven't seen it on any of their advertising. Another one that's come up is River Inheritance. River is a company very much like Swan Bitcoin. It's a Bitcoin-only company. And you can buy Bitcoin and sell Bitcoin just like you can with Swan. In fact, with Swan, you're not going to sell your Bitcoin with them. That was a misstatement on my part. You buy Bitcoin. You can
store it with them.
You can store it, but you should self-custody it. But River offers that as well, and they offer a few more other goodies also. So that's also something to look at.
And then we got Unchained Capital.
Unchained Capital, yes. And if you don't go with them as far as an inheritance plan, you can at least store your cryptos safely through their multi-sig program. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's probably worth you to start taking a look at.
Right.
And I liked it. One part was, you know, to write a letter of instructions.
Yes.
If you do nothing else, if you, you know, do it where it's very simple for people to understand, to carry out your wishes will make a big difference.
Oh, it sure does. Yes. And your heirs will be very happy that you've done that for them.
So.
Yes. So we'll bring more information on this, and hopefully we can get some people to come on the show and
we're
talk about these products.
Yeah, okay? and maybe by then we'll know more about the tax implications on some of it, because we're kind of in murky water right now
with some
of that. Yeah.
We'll see if we can find a local who's willing to come in, who has this knowledge and is qualified to do this work and come on in and talk about
it.
And we are getting the hook light, and so it's getting to be time to say goodbye. We'll see you next week.
So long, farewell.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Well, that's not what we'll play, but.
All right. Well, everybody have a great week, and we will see you next week.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Or Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Or Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, till everybody.
everybody knows, everybody knows, till everybody knows your name. Down the road it will be told about the death of old Mt. Gox, about traders trading altar coins and miners mining blocks. But them good old boys back in Illinois and on down through Tennessee, see, they don't care to be a millionaire, they're just wanting to be free. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain, oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.